What's going on, everybody? Daryl Frater, the club CEO here, and we have another amazing episode of the My DJ Story podcast brought to you by the Club app, the number one streaming app for DJs and partygoers. Today, we have my brother, DJ A1. Brother, can you please introduce yourself to the people, who you are and where you're from?
Yeah, of course, man. So I go by the name of DJ A1. I'm originally from Detroit, Michigan. I live outside of Lexington, Kentucky now. So my main market is like the Lexington and Louisville, and then like kind of like Nashville and Cincinnati, like a little diamond. That's like my main market.
Awesome, brother. We're super excited to have you on the show. This is the My DJ Story podcast. So we want to hear your story as a DJ in the game. So walk us through the beginning, man. What sparked your interest to become a DJ, and walk us through your journey from there?
All right, yeah, man. So it's kind of a two-fold kind of deal. So one, my dad was a DJ. And so that was kind of, I always had like music in my blood. And I did like band and stuff. I did like marching band and stuff like that. So music has always been a part of me, you know, it's always been around me. So I've always been involved in music in some capacity or another. It wasn't until about 2015 that I started DJing, and it mainly came because I was in a college situation, because where I live is like a college town. And so a lot of the DJs had kind of phased out. And so for me, I kind of saw an opportunity, but it was kind of like one of those things where it's like a bunch of people knew me and knew I was like heavy into music, but it was just kind of like getting people comfortable with the idea of me being a DJ. But I pretty much just, I came into some extra money at the time, really. And so it was kind of like one of those deals where it felt like it was kind of meant to be. So like, I bought like my first setup, and I had like, I was just like aux cord DJing, man, because I had like my own speaker system. Like I bought like a mixer and like an amp and like a small mixer amp and like some speakers and stuff like that. So I was like portable, you know what I'm saying? I felt like I was doing it just a little bit, just starting out. But it was really just trying to get my name and my face out there. I was really just trying to get comfortable with me, you know what I'm saying? People just knowing that I DJ, because like I said, a lot of people know me already and they knew I was into music. It was just DJing was just kind of something else to add to that. So that's how that, like I said, 2015 was around when I started doing it. I started really going hard with it in about 2017, just because I had felt like I said, by that point, a lot of people had gotten comfortable with me. A lot of people knew who I was. They knew I kind of had I was bringing a little bit of a different flavor than the other DJs in the market. So like, you know what I'm saying? It took about, yeah, like nine, like 18 months to 2 years or so before people, I kind of was really like locked in, like people kind of knew who I was, you know, so.
Awesome, man. That's a super great intro. It seems like you're a popular dude and kind of jumped into DJing and kind of transfer that brand from just being popular and now to being a DJ. And I think that's really cool that people.
Yeah, know. It was a little bit of, yeah, definitely the popularity plus already being in the music. And that was, I think that really made a really easy transition into DJing, because I had the musical knowledge base already. So a lot of stuff in terms of like, you know, a lot of stuff didn't have to be explained to me. It was just really kind of getting comfortable with the software and just start practicing, really, because like I said, I was already a musician, so you know, that's, it's always just getting those reps and practicing. I think that was super huge for me. So
awesome, man. And what specifically about DJing that kind of brought you in? You were already in the music, but then what called you from the DJing to kind of bring you into it? What specifically got you?
Like I said, it was really just trying to fill that need. Cause I think I went into it with a money first mindset. And then once I kind of got my feet wet a little bit, I saw that there was like a lot more to this. Like it wasn't just kind of just doing it for the money. Whereas I actually kind of developed like passion for it, you know, passion for the craft itself. I think that's, I think some people never actually hit that point. And so they kind of get caught up in the money part of it. Cause like I said, eventually the money started coming. Like, and that's the part I think I kind of had to dial back, and I just kind of saw it early. So like I said, I was kind of doing it because it was like I said, there was open gigs. And so I kind of got in and got my feet wet. And like, even before I was that good, I kind of had a couple gigs under my belt already. And so, like I said, because even like I said, it mostly came natural. Because like I said, I already had the music base. So even in terms of like stuff like scratching, like nobody had to really teach me. Like I learned the technique of how to actually scratch the hardware. But in terms of like knowing like where to scratch, like I could just hear it. Like nobody ever had to explain to me like kind of this is where you probably want to fit in. Like none of that stuff ever really did none of that. Or even like with doing like beat matching or beat juggling and stuff like that, none of that stuff ever really, nobody taught me that stuff. It was just I could hear where it was supposed to go, and then I watched other DJs and kind of saw them doing similar things to kind of confirm, you know, like what I was, you know, that I was kind of on to something there, you know, like I said, but nobody really, a lot of it came to supernatural. Like I said, I could just hear where certain stuff is supposed to go. Like I just hear where transitions or like ad libs and stuff. I could just hear it. Like it's really hard to explain, but it just came supernatural.
That's dope, man. It seemed like you had a natural calling to become a DJ. I'm glad that you kind of heard the voice and just kept on going and kept on building yourself into it, man. You just started to build a name for yourself where people are knowing you as DJ A1, man. So, you know, what we're going to do, we're going to jump into a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we're going to dive deeper into that brand and your name and talk a little bit about that, okay?
All right, sounds good.
And we're back with the My DJ Story podcast. We're here, my brother DJ A1, and we're super excited to hear his story about being a DJ in his game. So please tell us a little bit about DJ A1. How did that name come about? And talk to us a little bit about what that branding means to you.
All right, so so how it was because like when I started doing this, like I said, I kind of jumped head first into it, and like I said, there was an opportunity and there was gigs, you know, to get. So, but like people just knew me by my real name, and so that's what people were just calling me, that just DJ in my real name or whatever. And so I kind of was like, I didn't want to be just that. I was like, at least I want to have some type of identity with it. But I guess the way it kind of happened was that I was at an event and somebody asked me, and I was like, well, I didn't really have time to come up with something. So the first thing I could think of was A1, because I was like, well, my real name started with an A. And so I'm like, you know, A1, just so it was simple and it just came to me. So I was like, yeah, A1. And it kind of took it and ran with it, because I kept saying that I was going to come back and actually like rebrand myself with another name. But then it just, the train kind of took off too quick. And then too many people, like, because at this point, I'm like, too many people know me as A1 to really want to, it makes me kind of lean against trying to, you know, like rebrand. Cause I'm like, so many people already know me as A1, and it took, you know, a little while for me to get there. So it's like, you know, love so it. Yeah. But it was like I said, I was just at an event. Somebody asked me and I was like, A1, because it was just the first thing that really came to my mind. Like,
that's really dope. It was the spur of the moment, and you just saw the opportunity. You just came to your head and you just ran with it and just started to build a brand and build that name up as you went along in your journey. So I think that's super exciting, man. And tell me, you know, as you build that brand, DJ A1, you know, what kind of energy or what kind of vibe do people get when they book DJ A1? And why does that brand, you know, become special for you? And why, when people book you, like, what do they get?
So for me, I have my own everything in terms of equipment. So like the moment you book me, you don't, all you gotta do is just pay the money, you know, and I show up and make it happen. You know what I'm saying? So that part is kind of always been, that's always been, I say, my advantage in terms of like, even just starting off. Like I always, even when I went into it, I kind of made that investment into my own equipment and stuff. So that like, if no matter where the gig was, I could kind of pull up and do it. It was just once I kind of got a little farther along, like I got a better board. And so now I'm running it off of like all XLRs and stuff like that. So it's like, I still have all my own stuff. It's just now I'm operating a lot more efficiently now. So like I said, I can just kind of get out there and do it. But I'm definitely on the road kind of DJ. I'm always somewhere kind of different. I DJ in the sense, like I've had a couple residencies, like short-term residencies, but mostly I'm like somewhere else usually DJing. Like I said, it's just, I'm kind of all over the place sometimes. That's just, like I said, cause so many people kind of know me and for so many different things. So it's like people find out I DJ. And then it's like I said, sometimes it's people I know, sometimes it's somebody who knows somebody, you know. It's just, like I said, I've kind of ended up in a lot of different spaces, a lot of different ways. When, like I said, for me, the biggest thing I think is like professionalism, always wanting to make the customer feel like they won in the end, or you know what I'm saying? Because I think especially in some cases where definitely when I was starting off, I was charging a lot less too. So like there was a lot of people who were saying like dang, man, I'm getting this DJ for this price. Like, it's, you know what I'm saying? That was kind of keeping me booked for a while. But then it was kind of got to the point where it was like, okay, I kind of need a little bit more, you know, from the situation. And it was really just trying to invest in like better equipment. Cause like I said, I was on that, like that Pioneer SB2 that most everybody kind of start off on. And so I was like, yeah, I need something a little better. You know, so I need a real car, you know, I can't, but that's always equated to like something. I'm like, I need a real, you know, like something real. I can't just keep going off the small board. So like I said, I upgraded to that. And then I bought my own speaker to go with it, you know? So like I said, I can go anywhere, pretty much anywhere now, and I'm running off XLR. So it's, you know, everything is just, It's just even in terms of setting up stuff, it's simpler, it's easier, you know, taking way less time, way less equipment. So pretty much, like I said, when people kind of see me, it's just, you know, you're getting like a good deal. Like, you know, I'm gonna show up on time, you know, I'm gonna make it happen. I got all the paperwork. I try to make the paperwork To protect myself, but also to make it easy to understand for the customers. So they kind of like, I don't like, I know a lot of DJs have like a lot of legal jargon and stuff in there. And it's like, well, I understand that stuff. I know they might not. So like I said, I kind of, my paperwork is written kind of in layman's terms. So like, most people can actually understand what's going on, what they're getting. I have a lot of options in terms of like connections. So like people want like fog machines, lights, pretty much whatever kind of you want, I can get, either have it or I can get access to it. So like I said, I've done a variety of events just based off that alone. Just in general, it's A1 service, you know. That's what I kind of say now. It's you know what I'm saying, everything is A1 with it, you know. It's definitely five stars. Like I've never really had, like, where DJs say that kind of, man, I kind of blew that gig. I was like, I don't really have the gig where I felt like I blew it, because I just felt like I owe it. Like I'm pretty big on preparation. Like, a lot of people that know me personally kind of know that I'm real big on like the preparation aspect, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like I prepare for every gig. So I don't really walk into any situation not knowing or not, you know, I feel like I'm pretty prepared most of the time. So like for me, like I said, I just kind of, it's definitely just that A1 quality of service. That's why I just, you know, I kind of use that over and over, but yeah, it's like A1 quality of service, man. You know, I'm gonna show up on time, make it happen. I say crowd, like the music part of it too, because I DJ and I host and stuff too. So like I can, you know, I work the mic, you know, I can, you know, get people excited. Or especially like I like DJing in bars, you know what I'm saying? Because I'll be yelling on the, or no, I ain't gonna say yelling on the mic, but I definitely be on the mic. Like, hey, make sure I tip my bartenders, you know what I'm saying? Make sure I want everybody to eat, you know what I'm saying? Especially in situations like that, it's enough there for everybody to eat. You just gotta make sure that everybody's taken care of. And sometimes that just, those small things make people kind of think about it a little bit more. So
yeah, man, I think that you're on a really great journey, bro. I like the progression that you've had, upgrading your equipment, investing in yourself, growing your brand, your name, everything about your business. So I love the progression, man. So talk to me. You're a fairly young guy, pretty early in your journey. You know, what is the long-term strategy or goal for your DJ journey? Like, what do you want to see from yourself and the DJ A1 brand in the future?
So that's pretty simple, actually, because I'm kind of going through this now. So like for me, I'm trying to get out of having to rely on getting booked all the time, even though, like I said, it comes enough, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting booked enough, but I feel like I want to get to the point where I'm doing my own events and kind of pushing my own kind of narrative and kind of my own situations forward. Just being able to stand on the weight of kind of my own situation, you know, kind of start, like, because like I said, it's cool getting booked. I appreciate, you know, and I appreciate everybody who's ever booked me or, you know, has ever seen me and considered me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate all of that stuff, or people just, I send out mixes to and stuff like that. I appreciate all those people just for even taking the time to even talk to me, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, but like, I want to get to that point where, like I said, I'm not really relying on the weight of other people to kind of get me booked and keep me paid. It's like, I want to be able to do my own events and people know, like, when they see, oh, it's A1 event, we already know what time it is, you know what I'm saying? So like, that's really my ultimate goal. Like, I really want to be able to do my own situations and kind of stand on my own weight as like a DJ and, you know what I'm saying, DJ host or promoter or whatever, but I want to be able to like stand on my own events and, you know what I'm saying, kind of do it that way. Because ideally, like, if I could do like a couple months a year that's, you know, fully funded by me, and, you know what I'm saying, just a couple months or a couple events a month, you know, like every month for real. So like, just steadily keeping some coming in. But that would be my ideal situation. If I'm about to say a kind of a segue off of that, like if I could get my hands on my own venue, that would be ideal. Cause like I definitely feel like I dealt with enough venue owners where I'm like, I kind of see the consistent mistakes sometimes that get made. And so like, definitely I would probably want to be a venue owner. Just I own my own spot. So I can't, you know, you can't tell me I ain't booked in my own spot. Right.
That's awesome, brother. Nah, I love it,
yeah,
man.
So those are probably my two main goals. I have like other stuff. Like, I definitely want to be on radio at some point, but that's like the smaller goal. Like, my main goal is, like I said, being able to do my own events and being able to stand on that. So.
Awesome, man. And you're well on your way, working hard every single day, doing a lot of things. And I think that, you know, you have that grind and that hustle that if you persevere and you're able to stick through it, you're going to be able to make it and achieve those goals. So I'm super happy for you, man. And I see the hustle, I see the grind. Keep it up, man. And I'm rooting for you. And I'm here to support you whatever ways I can, brother. You know, DJing in itself, jumping off and starting this journey of being a DJ has its ups and downs. Could you tell me a little bit about some of the downs and the hard parts about this journey? And talk to us also about how you were able to overcome those things, because we use your story to help other DJs in their journey as well.
Sure.
So talk to me about some of the rough times and how you're able to persevere and make it out of those rough patches.
Okay, so yeah, I got 100 stories about the downs, but it's really, I mean, it all kind of boils down to kind of the same couple things. It's either A, the venue owner not really kind of knowing what direction they want to go in, and that kind of subsequently affects everybody. Because like I've had a venue owner like book me on nights and then just like decide, because he got into an argument with his girlfriend and decided he wasn't opening the whole club tonight. And then I get to the club, the whole bar staff is there, and everybody's sitting outside looking crazy. Everybody like, yeah, we don't know where he at. And we, you know what I'm saying, like a couple hours go by, we got cars, people pulling up, you know what I'm saying, a bunch of people that I invited, you know what I'm saying, that kind of stuff looks bad on me. And they like, you know what I'm saying, they're like, dang, we was coming to turn up, you know what I'm saying. And then it's, you know, like I said, literally all over arguing with his girlfriend, he decided to like, and this was a Saturday night, he was just like, I ain't even opening the club, I'm just staying home, like just in my feelings about it. And I'm like, man, that kind of hurt, and it kind of stung everybody, you know what I'm saying? So it's stuff like that really kind of, sometimes venue owners get a little selfish because they feel like it's their venue, so everybody else need to do what they say. But it's like, in a lot of ways, you have to work with your staff. You can't always like be the boss, quote unquote. Like you are the owner and the person who manages and runs this venue. But like a lot of times you have to work with the people you're working with. You can't, I mean, well, yeah, you're working with them, not so much like you work, like they work for you. You can't always approach it that way, even though that might be the case, but like, or that might be the actual dynamic that I work for this person at this venue. But sometimes when you have that type of energy towards it, it kind of turns people off. Or like I said, just when you have that mindset, and like I said, because in that night, everybody lost money, because even the bar staff, the security, you know what I'm saying, me, everybody that was on staff, lost money because you didn't open the club over a super personal situation, you know what I'm saying? So like stuff like that, it's like I said, dealing with venue owners, sometimes venue owners, like I said, not knowing what they want to do. I've talked to a lot of venue owners who say they want to open up a night and then they get a little apprehensive about it. And then, so I'm not really trying to go on a race rant, but like especially sometimes dealing with like white venue owners, they don't want you know what I'm saying, that certain crowd in there, even though my crowd, I don't really have a rowdy crowd. Like mine is more of a like a 25, and if I'm 20, I'll be 29 in a couple months. So there's my crowd is like around my age, and so you know, like people our age is not really tearing up clubs and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So because like everybody's a little bit older and more mature. So like I said, my age group isn't really doing that, but they don't always see that. They just kind of see that crowd coming in, you know. And so sometimes, like I said, I've had that kind of work against me. On the flip side, I would say in one situation, because the lady was like not trying to give me a Saturday because she already kind of knew it was going to go in that direction. But I guess she gave me a Tuesday, which is their bike night. And so I had never really done like rock and country music and stuff like that before. Like I had some, but it was just, obviously, you know, I'm raised inner city, so like I just have no leverage on even this type of music. Like I had to ask other people, like what are the bus and country songs. Like I don't know. You know, but eventually, like I said, stuff like that, it kind of put me in a position to be able to diversify. Whereas like now I can play, I'm a little bit more comfortable playing certain types of music, because it's like, okay, I kind of know, like I can kind of get my bearings in, even though it's not something I'm like I directly do. And like EDM kind of fell in that same thing. I fell in some situations where people want to EDM. I'm like, I don't know any EDM bangers, but I gotta like start asking around or just kind of using what's, and really I think with the EDM side, it was kind of just having to use what sounded good to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, do I like this song as the DJ, you know, and kind of just, you know, stuff, you know, kind of using that to try to, you know, milk the situation. So stuff like that. But yeah. I was going to say, really kind of dealing with promoters, sometimes it's like that, really that number one thing, because sometimes promoters try to get DJs working against each other, or like they'll make it seem like favoritism going on and it's quote unquote not, or it's like they'll kind of want to endorse this DJ for a while and then kind of drop them and then want to pick you up, and you kind of like, well, you still my homeboy like that, I'm not gonna let you do me like that, you know. And then they want to take it personal or against you, you know, because like I've had on, like there was one promoter in particular, like I said, we had a college town, so it's plenty of you know, parties and stuff going on. But there was this promoter who was notorious for like not doing well by DJs, you know. And so like I said, he didn't, because I used to work with him like some time ago, and like I said, he kind of, you know, played me on a little bit of cheese, you know. It was a little bit of money, but I'm like, it's whatever, you know, I'm making way more now, so you know, stuff like that, you know, I'm not gonna say I let it go, but it's just kind of whatever, like I'm not really pressed about it, you know what I'm saying, because I'd have made the money back in tenfold by this point. But like I said, he was notorious for not really doing well by DJs. And so the main DJ eventually got tired of him doing him any other kind of way. So then he tried to pick me up and I'm like, well, look, I got stuff going on. And you know what I'm saying? I'm like, no shade, but you, I already kind of see how you did. And I'm also, I would say that's probably another thing. I'm kind of direct when it comes to people. So like, if I'm not going to do business with somebody, then I'm not going to really waste their time. I'm just telling them up front, like, hey, it's, you know, for XYZ reasons, this might not work. You know, I can refer you to somebody else, you know, but it's, you know, for me and mine, it's not going to work. Wow. But it's, like I said, promoters who, like, that's, like I said, they'll try to work with you and then they'll try to turn around and then try to blacklist you or try to make you look bad because you don't want to sign up for, like, a losing situation, you know?
Yeah. Wow, man. It seems like, you know, a lot of the concerns and issues that ever happened throughout the journey has to do with managing relationships and managing, you know, relationships with people that may have, you know, tough things about them that may affect your brand. So it's very important to understand how to navigate these streets and work with the right people, because the wrong people might have a big effect on your brand. So
yeah, they can.
Yeah, I think you know, after, you know, the stories that you told, you can kind of pull out that you just got to be mindful of the company you keep and the people that you do business with, because they're gonna definitely impact the way you go about your brand and your business. So,
and I was gonna say it did kind of slow me down just a little bit, because like I said, he was a very well known person. Like in general, like I said, knew a lot of people. So he, I don't deal with A1. He tried to play me. He, you know what I'm saying? He talked me any old kind of way. And then people who actually got, and then I found out later, he was really kind of going around saying this stuff. So like, then it was people who would actually meet me and then find out I'm a totally different kind of person. You know what I'm saying? And then like, people like, dang, like, and it's, like I said, people, that kind of stuff, people like sink themselves. Cause like I said, several of the people, he kind of did a bit, like, you know what I'm saying? Kind of badmouth me too. Kind of later met me and then found out, was like, oh yeah, this dude is totally like not the way he described him to me, you know what I'm saying? And so like, a lot of times, sometimes like a lot of cases like that, you kind of got to like clear stuff up yourself or let your brand speak for you. Because like I said, he told people I suck and I this, that, and the third. And like I said, some of those same people came in later, saw me DJing somewhere, was like, dang, this dude kind of hot, like I'm trying to rock with him, you know what I'm saying? And stuff like that, like I said, it just hurts sometimes, because it's like, it didn't have to be that, you know what I'm saying? We could have, like, especially like if you didn't want to do business with somebody, like I don't take it personal. Like if somebody doesn't book me or they book my homeboy over me, I never take that personal, you know what I'm saying? And a lot of people, especially in this industry, take stuff super personal, and you be like, man, it's just business. You gotta, unless it's like, you know, it's something that's directly at you, and you generally always know the difference. It's just sometimes people get their feelings a little bit too much, but you generally know when somebody's doing something towards you specifically, or just, it's just a foul move in general, and that's kind of how they just move, you know? So I think, yeah, a lot of people sometimes get a little bit too in their feelings, or they take it a little too personally, you know? So like I said, if somebody do bad business by me, I try not to badmouth people, but I will say, like, I'm like I try to find creative ways to phrase, like, if I'm not doing business with somebody without being like, oh yeah, they just, yeah, I don't rock with them. Because I don't like badmouthing people, because especially I don't like people badmouthing me. So like, whether it's true or not, I just don't, like I said, I usually, if somebody asks me, I'm just like, I don't do business with them. And if they ask, I mean, it depends on who it is. Like if it's another DJ and it was like a money situation, I will probably tell them and just be honest, hey, here's what happened. If you do business with him, you know, you know, just understand that this is what happened to me. But I'm usually like I said, it'll happen that way too. Like if you tell you tell another DJ something like that, and sometimes that DJ will have trust in that promoter, so they'll be like, oh yeah, and they once said XYZ, and I've had that happen where it was a janky promoter who tried to get at me. I kind of was like, hey, I'm good, you know. And then another DJ that I knew kind of got in cahoots with him, and then he asked me, and I told him the truth. He goes back and tells the promoter what's going on, and then it comes back on me that I'm just out here bad mouthing people. For him to turn around and do everything I kind of told him was going to happen to that DJ, and so now a year later we kind of cool now, but it was like at that time it was a little bit of tension where it just didn't have to be. And I was trying to explain to dude, I'm like, this is kind of what he does. Like he kind of gets people working against each other, but that DJ, he was still a little bit younger, so he couldn't see it, you know what I'm saying, the same way. So like it took him kind of getting burned on the hot stove to be like, okay, I kind of see what dude was talking about, so like let me just chill.
Gotcha, man. No, that's interesting. I think there's a lot of learning lessons that you can pull out of that, man. You know, what can DJs do and other people can do just to make sure that they're being able to realize who they're working with and kind of avoid people that they don't want to work with or they shouldn't work with? You know, how can people go about kind of vetting these people and kind of choosing the right people to work with?
It would kind of boil down to two things. So one, if you can ask around, like, so if other people, you know, ask about other DJs, their experience with this person, or ask just, you know, ask around about what about this person, you know. And it, I mean, a lot of times people will tell you, especially like I said, if it's somebody who doesn't do the best of business, there will be somebody who's willing to tell you. Whether, like I said, I think for a lot of cases, some people, hey, that's what they kind of, like I said, it gets personal and they start being, oh yeah, he did this and he did that. And, you know, and it kind of becomes like a bashing session. But we're versus, like, sometimes you just telling the business part of it, like, hey, this is what I did and here's why it didn't work, you know. And you know, if you want to, because even I tell everybody that, I'm like, you want to deal with them, that's on you. I'm just telling you what happened when it was me. And so, you know, like I said, just, you know, everybody takes it how they does. You know, like I said, some people, they don't. Some people just got to touch the hot stove, you know, for it to make sense. And then I've had some people kind of fall back, and then they kind of see it happen to somebody else, and they'd be like, okay, I see what he was talking about. I'm glad it wasn't me. You know, so like I said, but that. Also, I was going to say, because sometimes you don't really know a promoter is janky until you do business with them. And so the main thing I would say to that is when they do it the first time, that's when you need to step away. So the first time you get burned by that person, that's your last time should be doing business with them. Because a lot of times, like I said, they'll do you any old kind of way and swear like, oh man, it just wasn't like that. We was just drunk. It was just, you know, too much was going on. But I'm like, man, this, you don't forget to pay somebody. You know what I'm saying? Or it's one of those deals, like, if you forget to pay your light bill, they'll remind you eventually. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those deals where it's like, you kind of got to be, like for me, I'm big on respect. So, like, even if it's a situation where somebody owe me some money, I'm going to always be super respectful about it. And if they choose not to take the same avenue, hey, that's on them. But like I said, for me, just like I said, if a promoter does not do, or a venue does not do right by me that first time around, that's usually when I gotta cut ties. And I think venues, it's always harder because then it's like, I don't wanna lose access to this venue. But I have had to walk away from like whole venues that are like ideal spots to use. It's like I said, the situation with the manager, who, like I said, he didn't open the club that one night. That was it was a big venue, like a whole like 250 people. Great spot, huge bar, everything set up. Like, it was pretty much everything about that spot was a win, except the venue owner, like, who was just kind of on his own personal agenda. Unfortunately, I had to walk away from that venue, even though I really, really didn't want to. But it was like, this dude is kind of pulling me down. Like, I'm kind of, like, people kind of looking at me a little different. Because, like I said, it's been several nights I've tried to have people come up there and he'll decide. And that wasn't the first time he did that. Like, he had done it before and he did it after on my dime too. And I was kind of like, after that, and for me it was like that third time where I was like, okay, I'm kind of definitely got to wipe my hands of this. But like I said, especially now that I'm in a different position, like, definitely that first time around, like, if the venue's not really acting right, I'm like, hey, it's, you know, no disrespect, I gotta move on though, you know. Yeah, so now it's just when you get at a certain level and that certain confidence, you're not afraid to like walk away or tell people no. Whereas before, you kind of had that scarcity mindset of, oh, if I tell them no, they're gonna tell everybody in the city about me, you know what I'm saying, XYZ. And I mean, it does happen, but you gotta just, I don't know, you just can't let that kind of stuff stop you. Like, you can't let that be a reason that a promoter just keeps taking advantage of you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to kind of be the one to say, hey, I'm not going to allow them to do this to me, and I have to be willing. You got to be willing to walk or cut some losses, you know. But like I said, I mean, everything works itself out. Like I said, cause that spot eventually ended up closing down. So I'm like, it's, you know, it's whatever. Even though, like, I think there's people trying to get it back, but it's kind of a lot. It's complicated. So it's, you know how that goes. You know, some venues and stuff. So it can be super complicated. So like I said, that spot, we eventually just lost the spot altogether now. So, you know, it's like everybody moves on to other stuff. But I think it was around that same time is when I started getting, I got in at this other bar that I really, really like. And around that same time, and now it kind of, you know, I really like this spot, even though it's small, it's smaller and it's, you know, a little more intimate. But the crowd, 100%, the crowd is 100% my crowd. So like, I actually really enjoy DJing there versus at the other spot. Like I said, the money was usually right. That was probably the only part that was okay. But like I said, the money was right, but the owner used to be tripping and, you know, all kind of politics. It was kind of more of a hood spot. So you kind of had to deal with that dynamic versus this spot. Like I said, it's everything about this spot is better. I mean, I make a little bit less money, but that's, you know, like I said, especially when you get at a certain level, the money really don't matter as much. So like, yeah. I said, I just genuinely enjoy DJing at this spot, you know?
Awesome. Yeah, man, so that's super exciting, brother. I think that you're learning a lot from your journey and you're getting a lot of success and you're really progressing as a DJ. So I appreciate you sharing that story, man. It's really helpful to talk about some of the learning lessons that you got out of it, man. At this time, we're going to jump into our lightning round. Are you ready?
Yep.
Describe your DJ setup, hardware and software.
So right now I have the Pioneer DDJ SX3. And then I have a Yamaha speaker. I don't know what exactly the setup is. I just know it's one of those, it's a 15-inch XLR speaker. And I only have one. And so if I need a second one, I usually go rent it. But that one can fill up so much space, I don't really need to. And most, like I said, it's like a wedding or something if I need that second speaker. But pretty much anything I'm doing, that one speaker, that 115 can pretty much make it happen.
Who's your favorite DJ?
Aside from myself. It's a little tricky for me. So like I say, probably a big name DJ, probably Jazzy Jeff, because he's so raw with it. But if I had to pick like somebody that I know, I would probably have to say it's a DJ out of Tennessee. His name is DJ 91. And in terms of just the brand, the voice, the hosting, I was like, he got a great hosting voice. It kind of made me want to work to improve my own hosting voice. And you see certain things going on and you'd be like, okay, I need to get better at that. But like in terms of just his overall package, like I said, it's my dog DJ 91, man. He really coming with it, man. Cause even I was gonna say back to the goals part, I was gonna say, I'm looking to kind of get into the cruise ship game too. And I know he kind of tapped into that right before COVID. So like I said, that's also a big part for him, you know? So it's like I say, it's just finding out, you know what I'm saying? Just finding those lanes for you. But yeah, my dog DJ 91 is my favorite smaller DJ. And then like I said, Jazzy Jeff in terms of big name DJs.
What has been your favorite party or event you've DJed at and what made it special?
My favorite. Okay, it's a tie between two. So one would be, I did a celebrity event, ironically, at that same club that, you know what I'm saying, like I said, I had a lot of issues at, but that was one of the better nights. Like I said, so it's a celebrity event. So obviously, because that was that, and that was probably my first, I was kind of there by myself, like usually with the bigger events, like, cause I've got a couple celebrity events under my belt, but like, that was the first one where it was just kind of me. Like, it's me, this artist, they team, you know, I'm just kind of booked by the club and, you know, he kind of gave me the situation, but that was the first time I was really just there. It was just all me and that artist, you know, and it went over well, like I said, because I'm big on the preparation aspect, but I'm not going to lie, I was cool and I was like, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to kill it XYZ. And then the artist walked in the club and it kind of felt like that, with like the roller coaster came down, like my stomach, like immediately was like, oh man, the artist is like, and so I kind of freaked out a little bit, but I was like, whatever, because I kind of had this mental, I was like, nah, man, I like, if I felt like I had earned the right to kind of be there, if that makes sense. So I was like, nah, man, I ain't know what I'm just, because I ain't want to say, because I'm like, but my man Reigns, no, you feel me, I'm like, bro, I got this, bro, like, you know what I'm saying? So that was kind of the mentality I had. Like, I'm like, nah, bro, I can't back down. Or for me especially, like I said, it was like a challenge almost. I'm like, I can't, this is one of those challenges I cannot like back down from. I have to kind of hit this one dead on, you know. So and that's what I did. And you know, he gave me big compliments, you know what I'm saying? So it was like it paid off in a lot of ways. Second favorite event would be this wedding I did. And it was more so just the vibe. It was, like I said, a similar age group to my own. Kind of similar what I was saying to that bar. It just, that crowd fit me very naturally. So a lot of stuff went really good. It was for a wedding, like I said. One of the bridesmaids, we kind of had some dealings, you know, after that. So, like, it kind of... That was kind of why it was a cool situation. Like I said, we kind of got the rap in. It's my ex now, so it's not really, you know, it's whatever. But at the time, like, it was a super highlight moment. Because like I said, the event overall, I had a ball, made great money, you know what I'm saying? Just a win across the board. So, like, it was definitely my favorite event in terms of doing an event and everything that came with it. But that celebrity event, you know what I'm saying? That just always is going to hold a lot of weight, so.
Name some of the best places to party in your city.
Some of the best places. So, all right. So I'm in Kentucky. So there's kind of this split. So like I'm outside of Lexington. So some of the best spots in Lexington, I would say the bar is called Creo. That's the bar that I kind of DJ off and on. It's called Creo. That's a really good spot. It's Sting's Bar and Lounge. That's also like, it's like really kind of around the corner, so it's not that far. That's another good little spot. It's a lot of other spots are kind of hit or miss. So I know the number one quote unquote popular spot, it used to be Two Keys, and they was kind of super racist. So I'm actually glad they got shut down like right in the middle of the pandemic, even though I don't really wish that on people, but like they was kind of like when you see, like, you ever seen that, what's the RDC, the Mark RDC dude? He did the one about people not getting in the club. He was like, oh, it's your shoes. Oh, it's your haircut. Oh, it's you. Like, I swear they would find anything to be like, you cannot get in that club. You know what I'm saying? So they was huge on that. So, but like I said, that was probably the most popping spot just on people actually coming out. But like I said, Creo is a great, it's a vibe for real. Like, it's just across the board, top to bottom. So that was probably that. In Louisville, Nirvana is a really good bar. It's a spot called Cole's. It's outdoor and it's in the hood, but it's, man, it's a great time. You know what I'm saying? If you, you know, you like that kind of deal. It's Louisville got a ton of spots, like a lot of low-key spots for real. But I was gonna say, like the Hideout, like I said, the Hideout, Nirvana, Kohl's, those are three really ones off the top of my head. Body Language, the strip club, shout out to them. They super cool people. Yeah, those are some of the ones off the top of my head.
What's one thing that you think is missing from live streaming for DJs?
I know the big one was like the copyrights and stuff. Because I know, like I said, when stuff kind of happened, I tried to jump on Instagram and they was immediately shutting that down. And then I tried to get on Facebook and it was they were a lot more lenient, but I was still like, I would get shut down within like 6 to 10 minutes. And I had one of my homeboys, he was on there doing it for like a good 2 straight hours and they never flagged them. They never did anything. They just kind of let them rock for the whole 2 hours. Like I said, I was like, oh, okay, this crazy. And he tagged me everything, and I was DJing on his live. And like I said, we was on there like a good 2 hours. I go and try to do mine, and like I said, within like 6 minutes, I'm off. Like, but it's like I said, he got a different kind of following. We got two totally different followers, you know what I'm saying? Whereas, like, even on Instagram, I think I'm almost at like 3K, which obviously that's, you know, in the grand scheme, that's not a whole lot. But in his case, he like under 1,000. So it's kind of like he's like really kind of invisible, whereas at least somewhere in the running, so you know.
And shout out to DJs that you know personally whose stories also need to be shared on this podcast.
Oh man, shout out to Coalition DJs. I'm on 10%, so I'm my last little battery life, man. Shout out to the Coalition DJs, that's the group I'm with. My dog DJ Pretty, that's been one of the longest DJs I've been rocking with. Be my dog DJ 91 out of Memphis. My dog DJ 2 Official, he on tour right now with QC, man. Big shout out to him. My dog DJ Steel out of Louisville, my boy DJ Red Camp out of Louisville, big homie DJ Legit out of Louisville, my dog DJ Roller down by Paducah. I'm trying to think of everybody that's like in this area. My boy DJ 270, I know he down by Bowling Green. It's a lot of people, especially in our like our little group, man. But like I say, yeah, yeah, some of the people I think off the top of my head. Oh, well, I'm gonna say some of my hometown people, like my dog DJ Six, DJ Martin. Yeah, that's some of the local people. Yeah, DJ Six, DJ Martin, my boy DJ 2B. Yeah, that's just some of the local people I was running with for a while. You know what I'm saying? So like they all everybody kind of branching out, doing their own thing with that. But yeah, like especially the Coalition DJs as a whole, like that's my group. So I definitely shout out to them. So
awesome, man. We look forward to seeing their stories on the show one day. And any DJ that wants to be on the show can sign up at djsignup.com. And brother, where can people find you online or even in person if you're still doing events?
All right, man. So yeah, if you follow, really, I do everything through Instagram mainly. So like if you follow me on Instagram, DJA1_KY, like _KY, because I'm in Kentucky. That's what a lot of people ask about that. Because there's more than, obviously, I'm not the only DJA1 in the world. And I'm kind of really competing with this DJA1 out in L.A., and right now, because I guess he was already a little more established, a little more whatever. So I'm like, nah, it's always been this, not competition, but he kind of made his presence very established real quick. And I'm like, okay, you're not about to little brother me. Like, So like I always been on kind of this chase where I'm like, I gotta compete to be at least as good as the other DJ A1 that I know people kind of know about. Like, you know what I'm saying? Really, to me, it's like first one to get the blue check win. Because like I said, I'm gunning for it, man, because I produce some stuff too. So like I'm trying to, like I said, whoever gets the blue check first is the real DJ A1. Because
awesome, brother. Hey, we're looking forward to following you on your journey. We're super excited for everything that you're doing. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Everyone, check out my brother, DJ A1 out of Kentucky. So we appreciate you, brother. We look forward to seeing you in the club.
That's a bet, man.
Thank you for listening to the My DJ Story podcast. If you haven't already, please join our community by downloading the Club app for free in the Google Play and App Store today. While you're there, do us a huge favor by giving us a 5-star rating and shoot us a message on Instagram telling us you did. I'd love to send you a free My DJ Story podcast t-shirt as a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much, and we'll look forward to seeing you in the club.